हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 13, The Ecstatic Dancing of the Lord at Ratha Yatra. Page 13, verse 2, 13, 120 through 123. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing, his ecstasy changed. Raising his two arms, he began to recite the following verse in a loud voice. That very personality who stole away my heart during my youth is now again my master. These are the same moonlit nights of the month of Chaitra. The same fragrance of malati flowers is there, and the same sweet breezes are blowing from the Kadamba forest. In our intimate relationship, I am also the same lover, yet still my mind is not happy here. I am eager to go back to that place on the bank of the Reva, under the Vaitasi tree. That is my desire. Footnote 7. This verse appears in the Padyavali 386. This verse was recited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again and again. But for Sri Damodar, no one could understand its meaning. I have already explained this verse. Now I shall simply describe it in brief. Srila Prabhupada, in this connection, see Madhya Lila chapter 1, verses 53, 77 to 80, and 82 to 84. Preeti, the following block of verses mentioned above describes Lord Chaitanya's mood and motive behind chanting this verse. Okay, so now this will be the 152-153. Okay. In the attitude of separation, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared mad both day and night. Sometimes he laughed and sometimes he cried. Sometimes he danced and sometimes he chanted in great sorrow. At those times, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would visit Lord Jagannath. Then his feelings exactly corresponded to those of the gopis when they saw Krishna at Kurukshetra after long separation. Krishna had come to Kurukshetra with his brother and sister to visit. Madhya Lila 152-153. Other than Srup Damodar, no one understood why the Lord sang this seemingly irrelevant song until Srila Rupa Goswami heard it and composed his own verse, which elaborated the internal mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The verse that Lord Chaitanya sang was, that very personality stole away my heart during my youth is now again my master. These are the same moonlit nights of the month of Chaitra. The same fragrance of malati flowers is there, and the same sweet breezes are blowing from the Kadamba forest. In our intimate relationship, I am also the same lover. Yet still my mind is not happy here. I am eager to go back to that place on the bank of the Reva, under the Vaitasi tree. That is my desire. The verse composed by Srila Rupa Goswami is as follows. This is a verse spoken by Srimati Radharani. My dear friend, now I have met my very old and dear friend Krishna on this field of Kurukshetra. I am the same Radharani, and now we are meeting together. It is very pleasant, but still I would like to go to the bank of the Yamuna, beneath the trees of the forest there. I wish to hear the vibration of a sweet flute playing the fifth note within the forest of Vrindavan. Madhya Lila 1.6, Padyavali 3.87. And here is Krishnadas Kaviraj's elaboration. Now, O devotees, please hear a brief explanation of this verse. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was thinking in this way after having seen the Jagannath deity. The subject of his thoughts was Srimati Radharani, who met Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Although she met Krishna there, she was nonetheless thinking of him in the following way. She thought of him in the calm and quiet atmosphere of Vrindavan, dressed as a cowherd boy. But at Kurukshetra he was in royal dress and was accompanied by elephants, horses, and crowds of men. Thus the atmosphere was not congenial for their meeting. Thus, meeting with Krishna and thinking of Vrindavan atmosphere, Radharani longed for Krishna to take her to Vrindavan again to fulfill her desire in that calm atmosphere. Madhya Lila 177-80. Yes, so they're the same people. Means that's how they're going to see. You know, we have to be careful. We don't make too much distinction. Because in that environment there, Kurukshetra, then you're going to have the aspect that it'll be connected with the Dwarka pastimes. And so then that aspect there, then there's going to have that opulence and other things like that. So the arrangement of, you know, of Yoga Maya then is suited for the Dwarka flavor. And so then it'll have the environment there that doesn't quite match the Madhura aspects of the pastimes that are there because of the grandeur. It doesn't have that poetic elements that it does in Vrindavan, that simplicity in that. So then the desire to go back to that environment, because then that perfectly matches the mood that they have together. So then she's asking that, you know, longing that Krishna will take her back there. And so that's the point of it, is that Kurukshetra means is that they're together, the same Radha, the same Krishna, but because of the situation they can't interact in the same way. That causes an intensity of separation. Yes, so that intensity of separation, that's then the significance of Kurukshetra. So and Purushottam Kshetra is the same place. Jagannath Puri is this meeting. Right? And so then that, especially the Rath Yatra. And the Rath Yatra is that aspect of going to Vrindavan. But still there's, yeah. So that's the only point, is that those particular manifestation of pastimes, you don't see them outside of Vrindavan. So in this way, Krishna never leaves. Because that aspect, he's always there. When he goes to Dwarka, it takes on a different flavor. It's still the same person, though. That has to be understood. So that mood that Krishna manifests in Vrindavan, that you'll see in Vrindavan. And then what he manifests in Mathura, that will be in Mathura. So these two, it's not that it's two different people, right? It's just that flavor, those exchanges, that's what's going to happen there. But we do see that Krishna, because of this aspect that they're meeting, they are the same people. Then they go and speak. You know, Krishna and the gopis, they all go to some, you know, not very prominent place, and then meet and discuss. Like that. So they have, it means if they're not the same person, how are they discussing? Right? But they're discussing that. But that's all the farther you can take there. You can't do any more there at Kurukshetra. You know, you're going to do a circle dance around, you know, the, how would you call it? What are those called? Those five lakes? Yeah. Samantapanchaka. Yeah. You know, so it not quite doesn't quite have the same flavor, you know. Those lakes are, you know, arranged by Parasaram. Yeah, you know. So it's not quite the same. So that's the point of being able to, that aspect of being able to go back and taste those. Now, Radharani, why does she want that? Because that gives the highest pleasure to Krishna. And so Dwarka pastimes are there because there are devotees that want to serve him in that way. And so he being, you know, true to his vow, as you surrender, he reciprocates. Then, therefore, then these pastimes are there. But Srimati Radharani, she knows that the highest bliss that he can attain is going to be with the residents of Vrindavan, and of them then with her and the gopis. So that is the idea why she is saying we should go back to there. But at the same time, as you see, they don't, you know, there's no, you know, There's no scene. That's how.
There seems to be two slight different versions of the same verse.
Because there's what Rupa Goswami wrote and what Lord Chaitanya said. So what Rupa Goswami is saying, he's giving the meaning of what Lord Chaitanya said himself.
So the verse in the Padyavali is Rupa Goswami's composition.
Yes, if it follows this one. If it follows this, yes, is Padyavali.
It's his composition. Because yes. Sometimes
because he heard it.
He
heard that, and so then he wrote that down. And so that's why then later it was on a leaf, and he was stuck into the roof of Haridas Thakur's Tukur. And as we mentioned, how do you stick things on the roof? Because the sloped roofs and the veranda means you have the inside walls, and then the roof comes down and there's the verandas. So then it'll be right there on the veranda. And so that's where you stick things. You have things locals will stick tools there or anything there or something that you want to keep, because it just goes in between the grass and the bamboo. It just slides right in there. And so he put it there. And so then Lord Chaitanya will be there and then he'll notice it there. So he'll pull it out and then look at it. And so he's amazed. How did Rupa Goswami know his mind? Because otherwise only Srupa Damodara was understanding. But it's the same verse. Because the point is the mood. The mood is the same. And with the mood can be expressed, in a clear way. It can be expressed in the sweetness, the aspect of there. So there's different varieties of poetics that can be discussed. Yes.
The original verses, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quoted. It is also mentioned much previously. Like, there is a writing called Kavya Prakash, 11th century. It's mostly on poetics. He mentions, the author mentioned that same verse.
Yeah, because there's always going to be, because if you're always doing things from Shastra, then all these things have to be documented at some point. So how they come up, this, that, but they're there. So they're there for the pastimes. Like we said, Jayadev, where he's from, like that. Bengal says he's from here. And there's a place here in Bengal that's famous for that. And every year, then, the Baals and all that, they all go there and have their festival. Like that. But in South India also, then there's a place where he's from there, and his house is there, and everything's there. And I think there's another place, maybe over in Maharashtra or someplace. There's a third place. Or farther up north or something like that. So either it's Kalpabeda at all these different times, and he came in these different places, or whatever. So where he came from, how this all that, because that's not, nobody cares. The point is he revealed Gita Govinda, and that's what's important. Anything more than that, and then Lord Chaitanya is accepting that and revealing that. So that's the whole point, is that sometimes people try to make, oh, no, but where is it from, and all this and that, and where do they get that kind of attitude from? From an academy that it's somebody saw something. And then they're making the comments. You know what I'm saying? The sieve is, the colander is saying the needle has a hole. You know what I'm saying? These guys have a million holes. Like that. So that's the whole point, is these things are established by the Lord before. Sridhar Swami comes, makes his commentary. Jayadeva, Vidyapati, Chandidas, this writing here. So many different writings, then they come up and they're done. Brahma Samhita is there, Krishna Karinamrita, then Lord Chaitanya, he picks these things up and then they become significant.
But you're saying the point here is that when the Acharya quotes something, it doesn't matter where it comes from, because the Acharya is using it to establish devotional service. That's authority.
It's authority, yes. That's the whole point. And then if we argue with that, it's like, why come here? You want to argue? Go somewhere else, It's part of the Buddhist sadhana to argue. Like in the evening time, because their life is, it's quite monotonous, And so in the evening, a lot of times they sit up there and have big arguments. You know, it means, you know, they take sides. Someone is the Buddhist and someone is the you know, the non-believer. And they have big, big discussions and debates and all that kind of thing like that. It's just their kind of their pastime. I don't know if they still do it, but before it was very much, you know, especially the younger ones, you know, they're learning and, you know, studying and all that. Then they you know, exercise their knowledge and all that.
In the famous story of the journey to the west, you know, the Buddhist monk who walked west of China and entered India to go and seek out the Buddhist literatures.
Right.
And he went through different monasteries and he settled in one big monastery. They made a movie about this and there's a book. And you can see it's a regular thing, arguments. It's always getting ready to meet the next challenge.
Yes.
Always.
Yes, yes. It's just part of what they do, because otherwise, what do they do? Technically, Buddhism means that you have no place to stay. You have no facility. In the morning, you do your meditation. At noontime, you have a certain amount of time. You can go out and beg. And then the afternoon is for discussions. And that's their day. You know, so when Buddha was present, then you had, you know, actual Buddhism happening. But during his lifetime, actual Buddhism ceased. Then they got mixed with other things, the Tantra, this, they had started their you know, their monasteries and all these. But in the original, you're not even supposed to have that. It's just you wonder.
There was the same with Shankara, those debates and arguments.
Yeah, yeah. Because otherwise, it means for us is that we should know these things, and Prabhupada says we should be willing to debate and all that. But at the same time, it's not a major aspect of our life. It's not part of our sadhana. You know, hearing, chanting, you know, so it's jiva doya, Vaishnav seva, nama ruchi. That's our lifestyle. And so then you have, and because the acharyas and the commentaries, they give all the different arguments. So if you study these nicely, then you're prepared. But for them, you know, that kind of external element of winning a debate is the important point, rather than establishing, you know, the proper consciousness. You know, so it's just one of those things that one can, by religion, one can get easily distracted from actually the core principles. Core principles is to develop love for God. That's the point. And in a service attitude, you know, free from karma and jnana, that's the core point, as servants. But otherwise, one can get distracted and think other things become more prominent. You know, sometimes, you know, varnashram may get too prominent, or not having varnashram gets too prominent. You know, management becomes too prominent, or not enough, or, you know, prasad of this, or health, or, you know, so many things can become, take a prominence over developing love for Krishna. So the whole point is when things are properly connected to Krishna, to please Krishna, it attains its perfection. So that makes sense. So here then, that original verse is spoken, and that's you know, a perfect verse like that. And then Rupa Goswami, then hearing that, then he writes this, you know, to show, you know, to express the sentiment. Because that's the whole point of kavya or poetry, is to express the sentiment properly. You know, proper words, proper examples, you know, whatever it is that's appropriate for the expression. Like that. So this is, you know, you can see it has the element of the madhurya. But at the same time, it also has the clarity. What was that called?
Prashad.
Prashad.
What's it called?
Prashad.
Oh, prashad.
It's one of the ornaments of
qualities
of proper poetry.
Especially after Gaura and Puja and Prabhupada.
Yes, done plenty of prashad. So we see it has a clarity, especially in his writing here. It has the clarity, but it has that sweetness. And you see his Lord Chaitanya, because of the madhurya aspect, then he's able to say it over and over again, because that's one of the qualities of the madhurya. The sweetness in poetry is that it's something that you can regularly repeat and not get tired of. like that. So we see it has these two qualities prominent. It's not using the ojas or the like that. You know, because it's saying theirs, you know, that Krishna may take us back there.
So Maharaj, can we say the same way, the Mahamantra is very sweet, at
yes.
least
yes, yes,
can
yes.
be repeated again and again.
Yes, like that. And at the same time it has that clarity.
Yes.
So it's, you know, perfect.
Just before this discussion, then they discuss about Rupa Goswami yeah. writes that verse glorifying the holy name, that I want to have 1,000 more.
Oh, okay.
Sweetness of holy name.
Yes.
That is the best verse which describes, everybody agrees, okay. present there.
Yeah.
They have never heard.
Yeah, so it's just something you can be over and over again.
Yes.
You know, so that's the point, is it's so wonderful, the pastimes of Vrindavan, that they go on eternally. So you never get tired of them. You know, it has that ever freshness, all these, you know, wonderful qualities of that. Yeah, no, it is quite, you know, and that you know, it's being discussed so that we could, you know, we can sit here and hear it. It's even better.
I'm trying to picture the scene, you know, the cart and Lord Chaitanya is here.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no, it's all happening. Yeah, no, that's the thing. The Sandini potency creates these huge situations. You know, because we see with Krishna, he's always surrounded by loving devotees. It's one of the 64 qualities that is special to him. And so then the scenes there will be very big. Lots of devotees, and that's the main thing. While the Dwarka, there'll be plenty of devotees, but the thing is the grandeur becomes the prominent element. Within grandeur, then the devotees are functioning. Here it's without grandeur, it's just the devotees interacting. So it'll always be, you know, a very big display. And then within that, then they're all performing activities to please Krishna. And then in that, then the taste of, you know, Krishna being pleased and that reciprocation with them and their pleasure, then that'll be the prominence. So that's the whole point is here. The other aspects have been emphasized before. And to make sure that one appreciates at all these things, the essence of all the levels of these principles are all there. And so then you see is that, you know, that compassion for the living entities, then the Vaishnava Seva, the great, you know, the interaction of the devotees, but then the taste. So that's the point of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, is the taste. That's the specialness that's there.
You're saying the atmosphere created, even though there are many devotees, intimacy is there.
Yes.
As opposed to Dwarka, there may be lots of people, but it's formal.
It's formal. It'll be majesty. And so within that, they're worshipping him as the Supreme. You know, they may have their specific relationships, and that will be there, and they'll come forward. But at certain occasions, the majesty, you know, if it's increased, then their specific relationship steps back into dasya. And then when Yogamaya decreases the opulence again, then it comes forward. But in you see in Vrindavan, that doesn't happen. That's the uniqueness. So to say is, oh no, it's a different Krishna and this and that. That's how we might see it. But that's not how Radharani and the Vrajvasi see it. So you can see like that if you want. You know, it's not a problem. But one has to consider is that that's not how the Brajvasis see it. They don't say that. Nanda Baba never says, oh, that's not my boy. You know, Radharani never says that. The gopis never say that. The Brajvasis never say that. It's the same Krishna. It's just because he's in Dwarka, he's a king, so he wears all this stuff and is surrounded by all these people. So it's just not the same environment in which, because of the majesty, there's just that sharing of intimacy. So that's the point. That's why then Vrindavan is perfect for expressing that.
Some devotees said that that particular moment when Lord Chaitanya says that verse is the epic, the highest level of Lord Chaitanya's meditation in the Mood of Radha in all of Chaitanya. Is that correct?
I mean, this is the aspect of separation, you could say, but there's also other aspects that are there when he's in Gambhira, like that. But it's the principle is this is, it's the point is that these points are always ever increasing, and there's a wide range of them. And so then, you know, where he's discussing this verse or verses from Gita Govinda, you know, or from what's it? He just received that. Krishna Karinamrita and these other nice things like that. And so these are all that same position. This may be the pinnacle of separation, because as we said, you can have separation when the person is not there, but it's more intense when they are there and you can't interact in the way you would like. So that's always going to be greater, because Krishna would like to be with them, they would like to be with Krishna in that capacity, but in that environment it's not there. Not that it can't be there, but that's the point, is it's also part of the flavor of that aspect, because in the apricot lila then he's always there. So then in these aspects of the prakat, then you get this one, you know. And so then they can perform these things.
And can we say that because this is one, this pastime is related by Krishna's service, but only once. But Lord Chaitanya is going to do this 12 years in a row, isn't it?
Yes, yes. Because it's the same thing will be happening.
That's right, year after
year.
Yeah,
so year after year, and also just in between the years, it's going on the whole time. You know, it's just like he takes 6 years and makes it into one chapter.
Yes.
Like that, just bringing out the main mood that he goes someplace, all the different personalities come by, they become very impressed, they take up the chanting, they go back to their villages. You know, they start the chanting there. People from other villages hear about it. They come to that village. They hear, and then this way it spreads. That's the main thing that's there. And then something, he deals with the Buddhists. He deals with the Shris. He deals with that Brahman. You know, in the Bhagavad Gita, he deals with the Tattvavadis. And then he meets, I think, Paramananda Puri?
Yes.
In south, and then they say, we'll meet, you know, because he didn't know who he was. And then he says, you know, he met, where are you from? Navadvipa. Oh yes, I visited there, and he went to this house and that, and then. So, but that was his elder brother, you know. So yeah. So, because so much is explained in Chaitanya Bhagavat, so then it's, these are all things that are not brought out so much there. That's what he mentions before. Some things, of course, are common, because the field will be common, but what aspect is brought out, so will be more. So it has the bringing out this point of his purpose, the three purposes of coming. You know, the Sankirtan, the association with the devotees, and the tasting the holy name. So therefore, those, because those match the three moods of Radharani and her love for Krishna. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
so that's what's going on, is that if he's taking her mood, then he's tasting these features of that. And from that, you get these three aspects of the Sankirtan mission. So they're all manifestations of. So one wants to take, you know, one has to appreciate all the aspects. So Chaitanya Charitamrita will be specifically on that. Then the point is as we say, that separation is creating that highest flavor. This will be then separation in its pinnacle aspect is Kurukshetra. You know? So whenever he sees Jagannath, he just sees Krishna. He's not seeing someone else. So yeah, we're just bringing out, as some will overemphasize the point of Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, and so this is not the real Radha, the real Krishna. And like that, it's like, you know, it's like, then what's the verse meaning? Why is it Lord Chaitanya saying this? Why is Rupa Goswami then writing his verse? Why are the Acharyas commenting like this if they're not the same people? And she directly says, I am the same. Now I have met my very old and dear friend Krishna. Like that. And then in this other one, the one he's quoting originally, That very personality, not, somebody kind of like him. It's not a simile. That very person who stole away my heart during my youth is now again my master. And how would he not be your master if he's not that same Krishna? So the point is, Goloka is one person, Krishna. But it just has these different flavors, depending upon which devotees he's with. So then in Braj, that will be the manifestation of those highest elements of sweetness. And then the Navadvipa will be where he tastes that Hermu.
Taste.
In Navadvip, then he'll taste that mood that Srimati Radharani has in Vrindavan, right? Because her service is, she's the Sarup Shakti, just as he's the original Sarup. So she's the Sarup Shakti. And so therefore then, what taste she has, what service she renders, no one else will compare. So technically, she's the devotee. And then all others are assistants in the pastime. That, yeah, so we're just putting this out that one shouldn't overemphasize that point. It's just a matter of how you can deal. It's just like, yes, the father is, there at the court, dressed in his gowns and his wigs and whatever else they do these days. And all that, and he's talking with, the top barristers and all these different things like that. And then maybe his wife and kid are over there on the side, because when he finishes this, then he's going to leave with them. But seeing the kid over there, he's very formal in that. Seeing the kid, there might be a little look. It's the same person, but you can't interact. That's why they're standing on the side. They're waiting. But it's the same person. So just because he expands doesn't mean it's a different person. It's just that because they deal in this way, this is how to move. So there's only Krishna is one. That's the whole point. He's not two. He's one. Yes.
Like we were reading that there is rasa and then the merits which are the body of rasa, and then the ornaments. Then they decorate
the body.
The body. Okay. The rasa. But without the merits, they're just ornaments, then they become the false, dosha.
Yeah.
But also at the same time, if there is no rasa, is not caught, then all the ornaments, merits and all will lead to a wrong philosophical conclusion also.
Mm. Yeah.
Like if one doesn't understand the mood here, then we came into wrong philosophical conclusion.
So we have to be careful to overemphasize too much. Because it's a matter of, there's a flavor there, and that flavor is appreciated. And this is what's revealed, and this is how much we know. And so it's there, because, there's so many very nice pastimes like that. So this may be the highest verse, because we see in Gambhira, a lot of times complete verses never make it out of his mouth.
Not even words.
Yeah, just syllables. So like that. It's just, this is the flavor. And this is, you could say, is, yes, it's the central point. But it shouldn't be, this is the pinnacle, therefore everything else is not so important. You have to be very careful of that, because it's a very common thing is, let's say, you have the different munis. So then what makes the munis special? Because he emphasizes a particular aspect like that. And so that's the whole point. They emphasize that. So if someone has a particular flavor and all that and a rati, then it doesn't matter. But if we're conditioned, then the tendency it may overbalance, and we have to be very careful about that. Because otherwise, then you'll start all these different kinds of arguments and everything, which are really not important. Yes.
And also that makes the point clear that if only a devotee who understands the rasa can actually understand the whole technicality of even the kavya or anything.
Mm.
And because if rasa is not understood, then the more technical details you know, actually we become more confused.
Yeah, become confused, it becomes distracting. Because all these, like you were saying, is that you have the qualities, then they're the body of the presentation.
Rasa is the soul.
Yeah, so rasa is the core, then you have the body, you know, which is the qualities, like we mentioned about that madhurya, and the clarity, the prashada, you know, or the ojas, where it's just, you know, some vigor, like you see sometimes in the pastime, Krishna is very vigorous, you know, that, or the gopis, or the cowherd boys, or, you know, these kind of various aspects. And so these things are the body of rasa, you know, through which it's expressed. Then you have your various kinds of poetic expression, you know, your similes, metaphors. What's the last? I don't know what that is. Condensed expression means it's like many of these all together, like a conglomeration of where you're comparing different things, but using within them, you know. So it's like a complex one of these, or where just the words themselves kind of rhyme and stuff.
Alliteration.
They rhyme, so you know the same words, same letters are coming, you know, or things like that, or in the modern how they rhyme and different things like that. And so these all are like ornaments on, Prabhu was saying, on the body of the body of good qualities, which is the body of rasa. But if you don't have the body of rasa, then the ornaments don't have any meaning. So that's why people can write such wonderful things, like, you know, like the Digvijay Pandit, you know, 100 verses, you know, like the wind. But the point is because it doesn't have the proper attitude, it's just ornaments. But, you know, it's like ornaments on a dead body. It's like, you know, whoopee, you know, nice suit, okay. You know, so that's the whole point, is that it one has to appreciate that it's the rasa that's the main thing that's being tasted. It's not like sahajiyas, is that the whole science of it and how it's presented has to be very nicely done. So that's why we don't make up these verses. We don't write verses and all that. We, you know, what the acharyas have done, we know those are perfect. And so those are what we quote. That's what we discuss. You know, so that balance, whatever they're presenting, that's then what we want to present. We follow that mood. So that's following in the wake. You know, like a wake, when a boat goes, then you're going to have the waves go back like this. So there's one point, and then back there, we can follow in that wake. So there can, so many can follow in that wake. So that's the point, is that the, you know, Braj Basis in general, then we're following that mood of full surrender. And so that's then the kind of flavor we want, we like. You know, so let's hear that simple atmosphere. Radharani longed for Krishna to take her to Vrindavan again to fulfill her desire in that calm atmosphere, because that has that prasada aspect. It's peaceful, it's nice, it's clear, like that.
It's interesting that you mentioned them, Prabhupada, also, because they are Vaishnavas who really get into ornaments in Sanskrit in describing Lord Krishna's rasa. And you wonder if it's for the sake of the beautifying the verse, beautifying the Sanskrit word, or it's actually to taste something.
Well, it depends who wrote it. If it's the acharyas and that, you know it's tasting. They're bringing that out, and this, they're so expert. Like Rupa Goswami, like the six Goswamis, they were so expert in this. Yeah. That there's even one thing of prayers, I forget what it's called. Something like Chitra something. It's one of the groups of prayers, like that. Where he's made these verses, but they're in patterns. So they look like lotuses, or there's one that's just alliteration. You know, that you'd really have to know Sanskrit nicely to understand it. You know, it means know the grammar and everything like that. To like that, you know, it's all with, I think, na, like nanu nani ni no nani. Like this, it just goes on the whole thing like that. It's just all it is these syllables off of with a na. And it's talking about some far out pastimes and things like that, you know. Or Jiva Goswami can take the first verse of the Bhagavatam and break it down by syllable and show it's expressing Krishna's pastimes from his appearance. It's like an outline of his pastimes. Like if you took all the chapters of the Krishna book, you know, that are there, and therefore that then each one of those would be one syllable. So the one verse will tell Krishna's pastimes from his appearance on through. At the same time, as it also, you know, says, you know, has its direct meaning, what it has there. You know, that we're seeing from the bigger words, not just the syllables. And then so many things like that. You see the purport that Prabhupada writes is huge. And then there's also, I think, a book Jiva Goswami writes, or someplace where he writes just on that first verse.
It's in Krishna Sandarbha.
Oh, it's in Krishna Sandarbha. It's his commentary.
So, trying to understand, is linguistic can be used as an anga of bhakti?
Yes.
Glorifying Krishna, describing Leela.
Yes.
Can we use the language as an anga of bhakti?
Yes, that's the thing. Because, see, in Sanskrit, the words actually mean what they say. Yeah. You know? While in contemporary languages, some words might have that kind of heritage, but most it's how it came up, you know, like that, what does it mean, you know, like that. But in Sanskrit, all the roots mean all these things, because it's starting, as we mentioned before, of sound, that you have an intent of what you want to express. Then that mood coming up, getting the energy and all that, then it takes on the form of verb.
Shanti.
Right?
Pashanti.
Pashanti. Then from there, then that verb is accomplished by nouns. So when it comes to the heart, now the noun. So now you have what's accomplishing what and what kind of situation and all that. Then it comes to the voice and then you speak. So this is mechanically what's happening with everything you're saying. And so then, because their mood is such, what they want to express then, you know, Krishna's pastimes and that, and the wonderfulness between the exchange between Krishna and the devotees, then how it will come up, the verbs and nouns that they use, and then the poetics that will be there, it'll be have such a wonderful thing. And even the poetics that we see, then sometimes it's not like you see, sometimes this poetic thing said and... But in the translation, you know, it'll come out very mechanical.
It's true.
You know. Now, the devotees generally do a better job. I think at that, Gopi was the best to bring out the poetic like that. And so, but to bring out the direct meaning, I think Banumars is the best. And, but you see the Karmi scholars, you know, even if they're from a, you know, Hindu background or Brahmin background or this or that, sometimes it's atrocious what they say. Well, at least when it comes to kavya, when it comes to poetics. Some mechanical things, if it's their area, they do quite well in. If it's not their area, then, you know, it's only pride that they would translate such things. You know, so... Yes, so that's why it comes out with such amazing things like that. It's also, you'll see generally, is that the amazing ornamentations and all that. Another quality is there is that it can be, is that it's very easy to say. It's very sweet to hear, like that. And so it's also then picking these aspects. And so you have to know what are all the different, you know, synonyms and this and that and what they're doing, you know. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
so it's just like here is that, you know, that the Kadamba tree. Oh, here's just the beneath the trees of the forest there. You know, and there it meant in Vaitasi. So what particular tree is the Vaitasi and you know, things like that.
There's a lot of dialogue that take place between Krishna and the gopis. They tricks on each other and they use, I mean, they're so expert with double language.
Yes. But the intent is known. See, it's a fault if you use this hidden language, but it's not clear what's said. Yeah. So you see sometimes playwrights and that try to be very clever and say, but no one gets what they're talking about. and their impression is, you know, either go out and hang themselves or everybody is Philistines, you know, or like that. You know, everyone's just low class and just uncultured, like that. But the idea is that, no, your indirectness didn't work. You know, if that's the problem. If you make that clear, they go out and hang themselves. So, you know, you can't win. So the thing is there, they're very expert at that. And so it is one of the ornaments to be able to do that, to give another meaning, to hide the meaning, but the meaning's clear. But that's what's important. The meaning has to be clear, but in a hidden way. But when they do it hidden where it's not clear, then it's a fault. So that's what Prabhu was talking about, is these different qualities. If they're not done right, they're faults. All the faults come up from the qualities not being correct. That's where it starts there. And the qualities are all supporting these first three qualities of that, of the sweetness, the energetic, and the clarity. And that's there to support rasa. So when rasa is appreciated, then expressed through these three, it has another seven varieties of, qualities that bring out something or enhance or see that faults don't come up. And if you still miss it, then there's 10 faults so that you know, okay, we're in the wrong place. So if it's, does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
Then it's very clear. So that's the point, is that this is the descending process. It's very, very clear. Well, if you go through the ascending, it doesn't make any sense. And that's why they translate it badly. Yes?
It's interesting when the Digvijay Pandit Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talks, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I'm simple grammarian. And the Pandit has to speak in grammar, and he has to be good, because if you're a philosopher, you're supposed to know the grammar.
Right.
And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu uses only the kavya to defeat his whole thing.
Yeah, he didn't even get into the grammatical part. Point is, yeah. I think he mentioned that there's many, many faults, but he just took one.
Yes.
It's like, you know, there's unlimited faults here, and we'll just pick out one. Because it doesn't have the proper mood, because the main fault is the proper rasa's not there. And so because of that, then there'll be a misapplication of the main qualities, the body. And so then, in that way, then there'll be so many faults. Because you're supposed to, the faults are coming because there's not proper expression of the correct rasa. So in drama, you know, in poetics, it's all about expressing a rasa. So if the rasa is not there, it doesn't matter how technically perfect it is, which the Digvijay Pandit felt it was, that it probably, grammatically, yes, but it doesn't have any, it's totally at fault. So even if grammatically it's correct, but if it doesn't express the rasa, it's a fault. You know, yes.
Also, we can see from Nectar of Devotion that there are various rules within the rasa. In generally, it is called rasavas, but there are always exceptions how it is,
yes,
actually rasalas.
Yeah, yeah.
So then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu plays, first he'll point out it is rasavas, and then he can again play back by saying it is not rasavas, it is rasalas, and then
yes,
again,
yes,
come back, and then again go.
Yeah. So it's just that's the point is, so when it's about rasa, and rasa means then it's rati for Krishna, to please Krishna in pure devotion, now we're talking reality. And if that's missing, then yes, technically it's really nice, but what's the point? Let's say someone has a tractor, and he can do donuts with the tractor, he can drive it on two wheels, you know, he can do all kinds of amazing things with it. But what's the point? Tractors for plowing the fields, you know, hauling goods from the fields. That's what it's for. So even though you can do amazing things, you still miss the whole point. So that's the difficulty with non-devotional scholarship, is it misses the point. There might be some useful points on lower levels of application. You know, on the you have the the aspects of the body, the mind, the words, the social elements like that, the spiritual elements like that. It may have some value within these and that for those first four levels of consciousness. But only when they're connected to Krishna, then they become part of devotional service. So that's the point. Varnashram. It itself is a body of rules. It's there to regulate the body and that, so it's progressive. But it maintains the body. That's what it's for. And so since it's for maintaining the body, then there's so many aspects that are there that may not be so important in devotional service. And so then when one takes up devotional service, then those things that aren't valuable for devotional service, one doesn't need to do those. And those things that are useful in devotional service, maintaining the body, keeping the social structure and everything, those are kept. But with time, as one advances, then one's able to engage these elements of the Varnashram in Krishna's service. You know, like Yudhishthira Maharaj or Arjuna, you know, as a warrior. Then it becomes a support for devotional service. Support meaning subservient. It's serving like that. It creates an environment in which, in other words, it creates a nice situation in which bhakti can be performed. It's not the process. Bhakti is the process. And bhakti is the goal. Right? So bhakti is the process. It's the goal. And the situations, whatever you're in, that's what you use for the process and goal. So you have the Sambandhi Gyan connected to Krishna, all the spiritual knowledge. But the point is then when that's used in devotion to please Krishna, then it becomes perfect. Otherwise, just those elements that are there, then you can get so many things from them. I mean, you get the six systems of philosophy from them, from the situational elements of the Shastra. Because they don't know bhakti, they don't know these things. And even you have the material poets and all that, but their expression of poetry and rasa is within the material framework, and so it doesn't invoke on itself own devotional sentiments. Right? Devotees may. It may, bring about remembrance. Just like we see as Srila Prabhupada, in one place says, talks about Nala and Damayanti. You know, just about how she's, the proper attitude of a chaste wife, like this. And, gives so many nice points. But in other places, he says, we have nothing to do with Nala and Damayanti. So it's not like there's not a goal there for us. There's examples and there's things that one can always learn from these things, and so then that's always a nice thing. That's what it's for. But that was the point that Narad Muni is making to Vyasadeva, that he's established a nice atmosphere there of religion, but then the problem is people won't know what the religion's for. So unless you make it obvious. So that's Bhagavatam, is explaining how it connects to Krishna. So that connection to Krishna is what makes it perfect. And if that's not understood, then one thinks, no, the knowledge itself is important. No, it's only important as long as it's connected. Like that. That's the whole point. Yes?
I heard once Prabhupada was giving a lecture, and there was some person who was an expert in this dance and drama. He just observed Prabhupada giving the lecture, and after that he made a comment that when Prabhupada is giving the lecture, his tone and the facial expression, all of it, it's so much in harmony. It actually takes many years for his students to attain that level of expertise. But for Prabhupada, it was so natural when he was talking about Krishna.
Yeah, because if you're starting with Krishna, then naturally these things, all these things come from Braj. Yes. In other words, the pastimes between Radha and Krishna, then you get all the pastimes of Braj. From that, you get all the elements that there are in the 14 books of Vedic knowledge. It's all coming from there. It's just that it becomes more and more grand, because then you add in the grandeur, then it becomes on the big things, then you have these Ashwamedha and this and that. It just takes on a greater. But otherwise, I mean, it's because of the grandeur. But it means like Nanda Baba. How many cows did he give away?
900,000.
How many?
Nine.
No, that's how many he had.
How many he had?
That Krishna took out, but it was something.
900,000.
It was some ridiculous amount of cows.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, you might see something like that at a Rajasuya sacrifice. You know, but here is that, you know, our king, what was it? What was that? What was the, he became the lizard? Was that Rika? Yeah. Yeah, you know, as much piety, you know, as sand, grains of sand and all that, but that's going on as a regular thing with Nanda Baba. But it's all in sweetness. It doesn't have that majesty. So you don't think it's, oh, it's so big. Like that, because it's just, you know, nicely, pleasantly arranged. So if you have the right attitude, that's the point. If the proper attitude is there, then the body of poetry or kavya will be there, and all the ornaments will fit nicely. So you see, is that's the point, is that those from the spiritual world, they're perfect. We don't understand these things. We don't catch that. But like here, somebody who said who was, what did you say they were expert in? Dance and drama. So then, you know, probably from the Natya Shastra and these things like that. Another person was one time devotee. You know, devotees sometimes were like when they're doing, you know, book distribution and that, then they'll set up a table and they put some speakers and like that and play like Prabhupada or something like this, and then people come around and buy books and all that. So one guy was standing there, and you know, the boy, can I help you? No. Like that, you know, like this, and the guy stood there for like 45 minutes until I think whatever was playing stopped. And then the gentleman made the point is that you know, so the boy said, oh, like that. So he asked who is this who was singing, explained about Prabhupada, you know, about showed the picture and all that. He says, you know, he's you know, his focus is his you know, his pleasure is classical, Indian classical music, like that. And so he's heard the best. And this would have been back in the, you know, would have been in the 70s. Right? I think it was 70s, that's what. Maybe this was 80s. You know, still you had all these big, big names are still there. They were still alive then. And so he mentioned that this is the most pure classical music he's heard. This is like just pure classical music. Nothing, not, you know, not all the fancy for show and this and that. They're just added on. This is real classical music. It means the mood, the rag, everything, the notes, how it's being used and all that. And so he was just saying that he's never heard that before. So that's the point, is that whatever Prabhupada does, it is the perfection. He does that, he does the cooking, he does anything. It is the perfection. He manages, it does all the perfect. You know, I mean, it's straight out of Shastra, but we don't know it. And so the thing is that you introduce those things in the beginning, the thing is they need material qualification. Right? Because you see, a few people get into it. You know, we've had God brothers get into the music or into other things back in the 70s, 80s, and they all disappear. You know, because they change their identity. Oh, I'm a big musician. You even see them walking around with their attitude. They look just like someone out of, you know, the music scene. So then the difficulty is they're unable to bring it across. They're unable to remove the step and move up. They get stuck on this lower level of development. And so it may have been a nice thing for them. They have the nature, they go into it, but then they identify with it and they're unwilling to give that up because they want to be known as a musician. Well, Prabhupada, he's not known as a musician. You know, he's not known as a Sanskritist or a grammarian, you know, or a manager or you know, he's known as a devotee. So one has to be able to give that up. And very few are willing to do that. So that's the one thing. And the other thing is that the essential, every soul is qualified for bhakti. But for positions within Varnashram and that, you have to have material qualification. And so if you're coming from a background where you have a position like that, nice, now you engage in Krishna service. But still, again, you have to be able to move up and give up the attachment to those positions. Otherwise, I've seen people attached to the position of, you know, the authority of being able to work with money because they're from a money background, or justice and morality because they're from the very, you know, high-grade Brahminical background, or, you know, certain attachment to certain rules and regulations coming from smarter backgrounds, and they can't give them up, and so you can't advance. So the point is they can't see it in connection with Krishna, let alone someone who's outside of Varnashram, who it's only by chanting that you could develop the proper qualities to be able to function within it. But the point is, unless you approach it from the descending process, from the point of it, bhakti is the main thing, and the Varnashram is the natural social support. So when we're dealing with theistic moralism, that's Varnashram. So devotees talk about communities, and they talk about morality, but they don't talk about Varnashram. So that means it's atheistic morality. And that's not community. It's people getting together for economic benefit, and as long as they're getting their benefit, they'll work together. But as soon as they don't, they break apart. Well, community, it's about the people, the duties and that, you know, good, bad, or otherwise, then, you know, you work it out. So one doesn't understand what one's dealing with, but if you understand how it's coming down and that it's Krishna's system, but it's only valuable when it's connected with the devotional service, right? And if it's not connected to the devotional service, then the rules and regulations take prominence, and then bhakti doesn't flourish. But if you're seeing how does it support bhakti, it's not that it creates bhakti. When you say support, it never creates bhakti. Otherwise, if that was there, wouldn't all the smartas, you know, be all pure devotees? You know? Sarvabhauma would have already been a pure devotee. You know? You know, when Lord Chaitanya showed up, he'd say, oh, you know how long I've been waiting for you? You know? Like that. No, it's like, you know, who's this guy? So one has to appreciate that this descending what the acharya. So what Prabhupada and the acharyas have given us is already Varnashram, with everything stripped away, but what's useful in devotional service, and even what they do give us as structure for it, only because it's connected to devotional service is useful. If we disconnect it, it loses its importance. So one has to be very, very careful that that goal of pure devotion is what is focused on, and then from there. So therefore, if you're starting, if you're establishing Krishna consciousness, where do you start? Pure devotion, chanting the holy name, pure devotion, prasad. Chanting, dancing, taking prasad. You start there, and then you can expand. If people can just function on that level, then perfect. We see Haridas Thakur, we see Amagrari the hunter, they just went from, you know, minus into this. But we see, as by 75, Prabhupada's making strongly the point that we need to establish Varnashram. Because, why? Because devotees want these aspects. They want that particular, you know, level of maintenance, social interaction, all these things. You know, people are talking about community. That means, why would you talk about community? If you're only talking about community because of the economic benefits, okay, then pranamoy haribol. But if we're talking about as individuals, the interaction, the relationships and all that, then how do you structure that? How do you structure community? It means you look up the word community. It just says common values. What are the values? How do you establish that? Because if you go like here, go knock on the door, go door to door and discuss. You have 100 questions about lifestyle and values and this, and you'll see as each house will be different. So Varnashram makes it common. You may fit into various categories. You know, you have 8 categories to fit into. But the point is if you're seeing with pure devotion, then from your position, you're endeavoring for pure devotion. And all those 8 positions will naturally be, socially, mutually compatible. like that. But if you don't see it, then yes, the rules and that, then you can make these differences based on the body. Because the point is it's only when you see it from the platform of the soul, then you have that actual equality and you have that actually sense of community. But if we just say we're not the body, we're the soul, that's okay. But what is the consciousness, therefore, of the soul? What would the soul do in this platform? What's it about? So you have to leave the external. If you say we're not the body, you have to leave that. And then what's okay, as servant, what are we supposed to do? What would be the position? And since socially we have this, then everybody has their position, and everybody serves Krishna. But if we say, no, I'm not the body, so I don't have to do this duty, I can do that duty. But why would you want to do that duty? You're the soul. You can just serve Krishna from whatever your position. No, but I want to do that. But that is that the soul? No, that's the conditioning. You know? And so that's the point, is that one has to understand is that when you use the descending method of we're not the body, then it's from bhakti down into the spiritual. Then it works. But if you're going from the material up to the spiritual just to make the point so that the material will go the way you want it, then that's atheistic morality. Yes?
We see very nice, like, many devotees think that, you know, Prabhupada introduced this varnashram later, oh, according to the situation in need, then he brought it up. Mm-hmm. But actually he wrote articles like way back in 1956 about the Gita Nagari, the perfect society. Mm-hmm. It's all mentioned before.
Yes.
But as you said, just to bring it in a descending model, first he emphasized so much on the core aspect, like nobody could deviate now, even till now.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if you would have...
Yeah, because if you talk, bring up pure devotion, then everybody has to, you know, agree that yes, this is what it's talked about. And so that's the point, is that it's a descending process. So it has to be, you start from there. Then you introduce these others as they're useful. In other words, if it's useful, then it's used. If it's not useful, it's not. You know? Like that. So, you know, it's just like I was seeing this one book written by this one, a chef. The Indian chef. But you know, he's one of those ones that works at those big 5-star hotels in Bombay. And that, you know, I don't know what they get now. I remember one cook was in the room where they were having the discussion on wage. And this would have been in the... When would this have been? I don't know if it was late 80s or early... I think early 90s. But maybe... No, I can't say. It was somewhere there, late 80s, early 90s. And... this guy was one of those ones that cooked at those kind of hotels. And very experienced and all that, but at the same time, as you know, he could work in a variety of situations and do things like this. And so the discussion, they finalized on 1,75,000 per month, which was not a, you know, was not you know, with, and the person who was working that out, he was one of those guys, because he was from a business background. So he would not give him one more paisa that was, you know, worthy. You know. So I don't know what they must be getting now.
When I was preaching in a college which is into that, he said the best pay is like 45, 50 lakhs per annum in India.
45, 50 per annum. Okay, so this is a bit more than that.
But now the rates, it's like... Was 5-6 years before that.
Yeah, so I mean, so they're doing pretty good. And these are cooks, yeah. And probably taught cooking, you know. And then we say, "Oh, but we don't know anything to maintain our life and all that." Kind of, what are you talking about? You know, you maintain your life by eating, right? So, in any case, then where did that go? We got into the detail, and you forget actually what you were talking about.
Introducing
Yeah, no, that's there, but just in the last one, it was something to do with the Varnashram.
Prabhupada introduced Varnashram later, first few.
Yeah, so it's just that you introduce. Oh, yeah, so it was talking about this guy. And so he showed that all cooking, no matter what it is, There's six stages on which you can put, add things that add things or techniques to cooking, where you add in different kind of flavorings and all these kind of things. Flavorings, the looks, the techniques, and all that. And he was showing how each one. And so every recipe will be work. Some very few recipes use all six. It has to be very elaborate for that. But most recipes will use two or three, like that. You know, easily could add another one or two, but most don't. You know. So everything fits into there. So something, you know, so simple like that is from that. Then it becomes very easy to understand cooking. You know, you can understand what's going on, because this is all it is. There's only this many. Otherwise, you look, oh, there's so many recipes, this and that. No, we're only teaching these techniques, and that's it. You know, and so then you have the combinations of the vegetables, the different spices, which techniques you put together. You know, what effect you're trying to get. So you have an effect you're trying to get, right? And then you come back and you have these techniques. So like that, just like there's rasa, you're trying to get a certain taste, certain effect, then you come down. Does that make sense? So the sending process is then where it is. So we see here is that this whole, like, you know, Prabhu was saying that some senior devotees was making the point that this verse, this pastime is the essence, you know, the highest point that's being made there. But that's the essential point. And then if we're saying that, that doesn't mean that everything else is not important. It means everything else is seen in the context of this. That's descending. Ascending is, this is the essential point. Everything else, that's all useless. But in the descending, it's, this is the essential point. Everything else is seen in that context. Then you can see how he does everything. So he's tasting this, his associates are tasting this, they're inspiring others to be involved, like, you know, said before, is millions of people are there at Ratha Yatra. So they're seeing this and getting purified and getting inspired. And so then they'll take up, you know, and then they'll start associating and they'll start tasting. Like that. So it all starts here and expands out.
It's interesting because later on, when they do the big offering and the cart stops, not sure if it's in one of the verses on the purport, but the people who attended the Ratha Yatra came from all over India, from all social classes,
right?
You know, all sorts of background, devotees, non-devotees, and everyone was allowed to offer to Lord Jagannath.
Yeah.
So there were all sorts of people there.
Yeah, no, everyone from everywhere. Yeah, because even now when you go to Puri, you have different pandas that are for different. Where, if you're from this state, from this place, then that's this panda, you know. So it may be the same place. You're from Gujarat, you know, and the panda who's there, panda is not right there right now. You could call him, but you don't, because you also deal with the Gujaratis, but not from Ahmedabad, but from Baroda. And so you're taking him around, and then when he's speaking, that other guy will hear, but he knows the accents. He knows, hey, that's my people. Why are you, you know?
Different level of patterns.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, just like that, the whole, you know. So the main thing, do they have motels or not? Okay.
Just one more thing, Maharaj. We're talking about Prabhupada being expert in music. You know that verse that he sings, the Kula Shekhar verse? He sings it without any instrument?
Yes.
That particular track was used by, what's his name, Javi Hari from South America, another musician.
Oh, Javi.
Javi.
Okay.
And he played piano on it.
Right.
And every note fell perfectly. Prabhupada's voice, his intonation, his pitch, fell perfectly with the note in the piano.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing out of place.
Yeah, no. That's just amazing. Yeah, no, it's all perfect. And also it's that, because that stuck, as Prabhupada's doing that, I've heard others do it, then it's technically called, called Gamaka.
Yeah.
And that where you're singing, it's like an allot, but it's you're using the words and you're singing the different things. And so I thought, well, that's, you know, it's simple, it's straightforward, and that's, you know, essential thing. Well, you know, that would be the nice thing to, you know, teach to the boys, you know. So then I approached some you know, good top musicians about this, explained what I wanted, gave, you know, showed the example. And they said, you can only do this after many, many years of study. Says, even though it's so simple, it's because you know the whole thing. Then you just keep it to that simple point there and do that. So that's another aspect. It's just that probably it's because he's a master of. Yeah, the gopis know the 64 arts, and so then there's three levels. You have knowledge of it, so you can take part. You're an expert in it, so you can do all whatever technically is to be done, you can do. Or you're a master at it, you can teach it. So you're the top. So Rupa Goswami mentions, who knows what, you know, who knows which art to which. Lalita knows this. This Radharani is, you know, master of all. And so different ones they have, like, you know, different ones that they have their levels of. So, yes. Yeah. 6.2, 124, 136. Formerly, all the gopis of Vrindavan were very pleased when they met with Krishna in the holy place Kurukshetra. Similarly, after seeing Lord Jagannath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu awoke with the ecstasy of the gopis. Right, so they're very much pleased when they met with Krishna. So he's the same thing. Right? Being absorbed in this ecstasy, he asked Srup Damodar to sing the refrain. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke thus to Lord Jagannath. You are the same Krishna, and I am the same Radharani. We are meeting again in the same way that we met in the beginning of our lives. Although we are both the same, my mind is still attracted to Vrindavan Dham. I wish that you will please again appear with your lotus feet in Vrindavan. In Kurukshetra there are crowds of people, elephants and horses, and also the rattling of chariots. But in Vrindavan there are flower gardens, and the humming of bees and chirping of the birds can be heard. Here at Kurukshetra you are dressed like a royal prince, accompanied by great warriors. But in Vrindavan you appear just like an ordinary cowherd boy, accompanied only by your beautiful flute. Here, there is not even a drop of the ocean of transcendental happiness that I enjoyed with you in Vrindavan. I therefore request that you come to Vrindavan and enjoy pastimes with me. If you do so, my ambition will be fulfilled. End quote. I have already described in brief Srimati Radharani's statement from Srimad Bhagavatam. In that ecstatic mood, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited many other verses. But people in general could not understand their meaning. The meaning of those verses was known to Srup Damodar Goswami, but he did not reveal it. However, Sri Rupa Goswami has broadcast the meaning. While dancing, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to recite the following verse, which he tasted in the association of Srup Damodar Goswami. The gopis spoke thus, "Dear Lord, whose navel is just like a lotus flower, your lotus feet are the only shelter for those who have fallen into the deep well of material existence." Yeah, so here's the deep navel is like a lotus flower. And then this deep well, yeah. Your feet are worshipped and meditated upon by great mystic yogis and highly learned philosophers. We wish that these lotus feet may also be awakened within our hearts, although we are only ordinary persons engaged in household affairs. Right. So you have this wide range of what the gopis are talking. So, you know, some would like to take the others. But the point is all these all are the same flavor, that same attraction they have for Krishna, and just tasting different elements. Srila Prabhupada, this is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.82.48. The gopis were never interested in karma yoga, jnana yoga, or dhyana yoga. They were simply interested in bhakti yoga. Unless they were forced, they never liked to meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord. Rather, they preferred to take the lotus feet of the Lord and place them on their breasts. Sometimes they regretted that their breasts were so hard, fearing that Krishna might not be very pleased to keep his soft lotus feet there. When those lotus feet were pricked by the grains of sand in the Vrindavan pasturing ground, the gopis were pained and began to cry. The gopis wanted to keep Krishna at home always, and in this way their minds were absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Such pure Krishna consciousness can arise only in Vrindavan. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to explain his own mind, which was saturated in the ecstasy of the gopis. All right, so it only arises there. That flavor, that taste is there. So that's the uniqueness that's there. Because otherwise, they're the same people. As pointed out, Lord Chaitanya directly said it himself. You know, the verses are saying it, but in this one thing it says directly, "I'm the same. You're the same Krishna, I'm the same Radha." Like that. But the taste we're getting is not the same as we get there. So that's the uniqueness. So that flavor, that's only in Vrindavan. So you can say that never leaves Vrindavan. And so Krishna tastes that he's always there, but it doesn't mean that he's not going outside and Radharani's not going outside. That we have to be very careful. They're the same Radha and Krishna. But it's just that taste will not be outside Vrindavan. 213-137. Speaking in the mood of Srimati Radharani, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "For most people, the mind and heart are one. But because my mind is never separated from Vrindavan, I consider my mind and Vrindavan to be one. My mind is already Vrindavan, and since you like Vrindavan, will you please place your lotus feet there? I would deem that your full mercy." Srila Prabhupada. The mind's activities are thinking, feeling, and willing, by which the mind accepts materially favorable things and rejects the unfavorable. This is the consciousness of people in general. But when one's mind does not accept and reject, but simply becomes fixed on the lotus feet of Krishna, then one's mind becomes as good as Vrindavan. Wherever Krishna is, there also are Srimati Radharani, the gopis, the cowherd boys, and all other inhabitants of Vrindavan. Thus, as soon as one fixes Krishna in his mind becomes identical with Vrindavan. In other words, when one's mind is completely freed from all material desires and is engaged only in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then one always lives in Vrindavan and nowhere else. So that means there, Radharani is only thinking of Krishna, absorbed in Krishna, serving Krishna, and therefore then her heart is Vrindavan. And so she's saying, you know, that he likes Vrindavan, so if he will kindly come there. 213-138. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "My dear Lord, please kindly hear my true submission. My home is Vrindavan, and I wish your association there. But if I do not get it, then it will be very difficult for me to keep my life." Srila Prabhupada. "Only when the mind is free from designations can one desire the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The mind must have some occupation. If a person is to be free of material things, his mind cannot be vacant. There must be subject matters for thinking, feeling, and willing. Unless one's mind is filled with thoughts of Krishna, feelings for Krishna, and a desire to serve Krishna, the mind will be filled with material activities. Those who have given up all material activities and have ceased thinking of them should always retain the ambition to think of Krishna. Without Krishna, one cannot live, just as a person cannot live without some enjoyment for his mind." Okay, so the freeing from the designation, so then one's just servant of Krishna. Then one can do. Otherwise, if there's designations, then one will get distracted by all those things. You know, either the varnashram elements or political elements, you know, philosophical, you know, issues or something, because that will be, you know, the identity. So that designation is other than I'm servant of Krishna. You know, or even if it is the servant, but a servant of Krishna, and that's why Krishna says at the time of death, you think of Krishna alone. Because you could say, what about Krishna and something else?
Yes.
But that's why I said Krishna says Krishna alone. Because you could think of Krishna and your family. But you want to think of Krishna. Because these things are just our duties here. So that's why we have the point of duties. You have to have an occupation. So therefore, since we need an occupation, and we don't have our natural occupation, you know, in detail, but we have the principle of it in service, then we apply that to whatever our situation is here. Mm-hmm. And then we have something. And you're doing that with detachment, so there's free from material desire. So it's performing the duties without attachment, and that way then one is developing. Right? Mm-hmm. But if one gets too attached to a certain particular thing, a certain position, then it will become a stumbling block. In the beginning, it's useful. You connect it to Krishna, mm-hmm. and you develop. But then once you come to that level and are steady in that, you have to give up the previous platform that was there.
Yes.
And then now take that, and now start practicing the next step.
Yes. Yes.
Right? It's just like, if I'm on the ground, only if I'm stable, I can put my foot on the first step. And only when I'm stable on the first step, I can pick my foot up and put it also on the first step. Now I have both feet there. Then in that way, but if I'm stable there, but I won't pick up my other foot because of designations or attachments, you know, or material desire, then I won't actually come to that next platform.
So, to be free from designation is a process.
Yes.
It's easier to go.
Yes.
But it's not that you wait to be free from designation to start hearing.
No.
You go side by side until you get to Shravana.
Yes. Yes, yes. I mean, no, Shravana Das is starting from when you hear that I'm servant of Krishna. I'm not the body, I'm servant of Krishna. Shravana Dasa starts there. It'll find its perfection on the platform of Bhava. But Shravana Dasa, Varana Dasa, and Smarana Dasa, they extend down, you know, to Shraddha. That's explained in Upadeshamrita. I think it's Prabhupada's quoting Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's explanation. I think it's in the 8th verse of Upadeshamrita. And so that's the thing, is because Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that it's bhava that extends down. So it's these three features that extend, because apandas and sampadidas, those can't extend, because you have to be on the, you know, functioning in your relationship in Sarup City, otherwise they don't work. But that comes all the way down. So you've heard about, you're adjusting with that I'm servant of Krishna. You're trying to remember Krishna. So it's there, and as you go, these things. So that's why then there's the stage of Shraddha, Sadhu, Sangha, Bhaja, and Kriya. So if at any point now you don't have faith, then that means then, you know, you may have made it up to a particular level, but the faith is not there, then that basically you're, in practice, you're situated not even properly on the first level. But socially and other things, you might be situated on another level. So that's why you have to see is that it's progressive. You're very careful about these things. That's why you don't associate with improper. You know, Lord Chaitanya was very upset with Mukunda. You know, because he used to go here with the Mayavada, because they're good orators, spoke very nicely. You know, it's nice verses, but and so maybe he can see these things connected to Krishna. But if anybody follows example, then it's a problem.
But it's interesting how there are devotees who, from the first go, yes, I understand I'm not this body, I'm a servant of Krishna, and they go on for years. One incident, one challenge, and everything collapses.
Yes. So the point is that they've made it to that point, that's gained.
Yes.
But now they again have to, so just they have to have that, if you can put that faith back, then it goes. But if we maintain attachments, and much of the time these attachments are to issues, then how will you come back to that point? So if you can do it this life, great. If not, then you'll have to continue next life. You know, unless at the very end you give up all issues. We've seen example of that, like Sudama. Like that, is that those last 2 weeks he just stayed, moved into the temple, and that, and Prabhupada came and collected him. I think there's one other devotee like that. You know, they've been gone for many years, and then came back. But the point is they were fortunate that they were able to do that by Krishna's grace. Because otherwise, you know, there's others that they may not be so fortunate. So one can't take it for granted. That's why one always has to try to move forward. So when everything's destroyed, there's no possibility, then these issues don't have much meaning. You know, if you're fighting over who's in charge or stuff, and you can't even, you know, properly, you know, you can't do anything but lay in bed, then it doesn't really mean anything anymore. So then they've given them up. as they've given up those designations, and then now they can move forward. They just, wherever they were, they just continue. So that's the beauty of bhakti, is that it doesn't have that, it's not restricted by time and space. But at the same time, as because it's about desire, you can do that where the bottom can fall right out because of faith. You know, you don't associate with devotees, you're not practicing the process, you're not careful about the weeds. So generally when you move up, you know, when it's in what do you call it, nishta, you're careful about all of those things. But like you said, if something goes that throws them off, that's the weakness of not having that strong kind of cultural background. We don't know how to deal, because a lot of those things you see are actually cultural.
Yes.
Like that. And it's issues with culture.
Yes.
And that. And so then that's the difficulty of coming from a background where there isn't any culture, you know, unless you were, you know, kind of more tuned into the alternative lifestyle, and so you ate yogurt, and so that was your culture, you know. And so yeah, then there's some problem, and you can have, that's why you have to keep proper association with that, otherwise then you can get distracted. Yes.
The Bhakti Sandarbha, that's why Jiva Goswami comments that the faith is called mature only when one surrenders onto feet of spiritual master. Because without that, then we may have something, then it's like, just yeah. Like as Prabhupada said, faith can be changed.
Yes, that's the thing, faith can be changed. But that understanding, but the nature of the soul being servant of Krishna, that doesn't change.
Only when he understands, that's when he surrenders under the feet.
Yeah. So many times when Prabhupada was here, they'd be surrendered, but after Prabhupada went, they'd have problems.
Yes.
And so that's there, but it's still, the connection is there. And so generally you see, if that's, they keep that absorption, then Srila Prabhupada will come and collect them. You know. So they're in their own kind of category, especially those devotees from the 60s.
Yeah, you know. You hear that all the time. Devotees are about to leave their bodies, and you haven't heard from them for 25 years, and they're just right back to when they were.
Yeah, yeah.
Home.
Yeah, because they give up all those things. They're not important anymore.
That's right. They can just...
Yeah, because that's the point where Prabhupada says, whenever you come back to it, it starts wherever you left off. So they do have that full faith and that full surrender. Then, again, wherever they were, they just continue. That's the point. So that's why then there's regular sadhana and practice, so that you don't have to worry that it might not.
Helpful. Sudama Maharaj only, I think. He said, it's difficult for me what you said I cannot do. What if I fall? And then Prabhupada said, if you fall, I'll come and pick you up.
Okay, so Prabhupada did.
Yeah. I was watching the Prabhupada memories.
Uh-huh.
Now he's going to be transformed.
I didn't see that. No.
I mean, externally, you look at him, you know, he's transformed, his gender is completely changed. And when you hear him speak,